Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Bateau et al. Titled, Vascular Endothelial Function Masks Increased Sympathetic Vasopressor Activity in Rats with Metabolic Syndrome. This article was published November 10, 2017. Joining me today are Associate Editor Deborah Diz, First Author Sylvain Bateau, and Content Expert Julie Chen. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank you all for joining us today to discuss manuscript reporting that changes in vascular endothelial function during high-fat sucrose feeding may mitigate the effects of an elevated sympathetic nervous system activity to increase blood pressure. These studies are important to involving concepts about obesity with and without hypertension and have applications to the clinical setting. I'd like to offer my welcome to the participants on the podcast today, and we'll start by having Sylvain tell us briefly about the main findings and novelty of the recent study. Sylvain?
Thank you, Deborah. So we looked in our study at a model of high-fat, high-sucrose-fed rats that develop obesity and features of metabolic syndrome. We observed that our obese rats developed sympathetic hyperactivity. This sympathoactivation is thought to be a major component of obesity-induced hypertension. However, both animal and human studies show that sympathoactivation is not always associated with hypertension. And this was the case in our model. So we first looked at vascular reactivity in our model, and we found that obese rats had a dramatic decrease of contractile response that was specific to alpha-1 adrenergic stimulation. Surprisingly, this effect appeared to be mediated by endothelial nitric oxide synthase nitric oxide pathway. This was not expected because vascular nitric oxide bioavailability is generally thought to be downregulated in context of obesity. But in vivo, we also confirmed the increased importance of this pathway in the control of blood pressure, since inhibition of nitric oxide production produces a much more pronounced increase in blood pressure in obese rats than in control rats.
Thank you, Sylvain. Julie, would you like to share your comments about the importance of this study?
Thank you, Deborah. I congratulate Sylvain on your excellent work, which reveals the importance of endothelial NOS and endosignaling in the maintenance of blood pressure in physiological range, despite the pro-hypertensive sympathetic excitation in a rodent model of high-fat, high-sucrose-induced metabolic syndrome. In my opinion, there are three major findings of this article. First is the finding that the increase in autonomic sympathetic outflow does not necessarily translate into higher blood pressure in your model of metabolic syndrome. And second, contractile responses of vascular smooth muscle cell, at least in the aorta, in response to adrenergic stimulation, is not notably dysfunctioned during high fat and high sucrose diet, and thereby suggesting an enhancement of endothelial anti-contractile effect to mask sympathetic dependent hypertension in your model of metabolic syndrome. Third, and I think it's the most important and intriguing finding of your study, is the demonstration that under adrenergic stress, phosphorylation of ENOS on its activation site at serine 1177 is actually increased in experimental rats, which is opposite to a decrease in the aorta of control rat. We know that hypertension plays a central role in cardiometabolic diseases. I think the result of this study provide us with new information to suggest the endothelial ability to modulate adrenergic-dependent vasoconstriction may well constitute the last defense mechanism to against metabolic syndrome-associated hypertension. At the same time, your study also suggests that whether hypertension is associated with obesity or metabolic syndrome or not may well be determined not by the smooth muscle of vasculature, but the endothelial cell of the vasculature.
Thank you, Julie. Do you have any specific questions for Sylvain about the study?
Oh, yes. I have a couple. The first is many patients with type 2 DM do develop hypertension as the disease of the condition progresses. Based on your finding, what do you think the system goes wrong so that the increased ENOS response to adrenergic stimulation no longer function to restrain the adrenergic vasoconstriction or the pressure response? Surveying?
Yes, Julie, thank you for this question. I think that the rupture of the balance between adrenergic-induced vasoconstriction and nitric oxide promoted vasodilation may involve both an increase in the adrenergic stress that the vascular wall faces and a loss in the ability of the endothelium to counteract this stress. What we see in our study is that vascular endothelium, by producing nitric oxide, mitigate vascular adrenergic response. It also mitigates the vasopressor effect of sympathetic activity. And in our model of obese rats, this phenomenon is increased. However, there is no doubt that at some time, endothelium may no longer adapt to this increased adrenergic stress. So I think that redox changes such as increased NOX2 activity that plays in the physiopathological process of obesity or diabetes will accelerate this rupture in the balance between adrenergic-induced stress and NO-promoted vasodilation and just promote the progression to hypertension.
You observed ENOS activation in the study and found that in response to adrenergic stimulation, the activation is actually increased under metabolic condition. Did you actually measure NO level in the aortic rings in your study? Could you elaborate further on this part?
We didn't measure NO production on aortic rings. We only did vascular reactivity to assess NO production. But what I can say is that we didn't measure any basal difference is in ENOS activation in response to the high-fat, high-sucrose diet. What we see is that alpha adrenergic stimulation activated ENOS by phosphorylating ENOS on its serine 11-17. And this was especially highlighted in the obese rats. What we know is that the vascular endothelium responds to adrenergic stimulation by producing NO. The mechanism is not established, but one hypothesis is that calcium and inositol 3-phosphate signal across myoendothelial junction and triggers NOS-dependent production in the endothelial cells. This mechanism, by some means, be enhanced in the pathological situation. Another hypothesis could be an activation of PI3 kinase AKT signaling in response to mechanical stress occurring during vasoconstriction.
Thank you both for that discussion of the paper. I have a follow-up to what you just mentioned, Sylvain. What would you like to do next in terms of future studies in animals? And do you have suggestions for studies in human subjects that might help you understand more about this progression from the mitigated state where you have an effective NO signaling counteracting the sympathetic to the progression to hypertension?
I hope this study give rise to studies investigating deeper the signalization and cellular structure involved in the adrenergic ENOS and nitric oxide axis to better understand how physiopathology affects this coupling and understand how to target it. Obviously, the next step for us is to see if we prolong our high-fat, high-sucrose diet, whether this mechanism of compensation is preserved or whether it declines, and look if this kinetic is associated with hypertension. And of course, we would like to see this concept at the clinical level.
Okay, thank you, Sylvain. Julie, do you have any other comments or questions?
Thank you, Deborah. I would like to make a remark. Vascular tone is really tightly regulated by many factors, whether it's physical, mechanical, neural, of course, endothelial stimuli. So that lead to contraction and relaxation responses in vascular smooth muscle cell. And the endothelium plays a very important role in the regulation of vascular tone via two main pathways. You study one, which is the release of vasoactive substance, including nitric oxide, prostacycline, and other endothelium-derived vasocontractile of contracting factors. But we also need to think about the hyperpolarizing of smooth muscle cell, which is induced by the release of endothelium-derived hyperpolarizing factors. So maybe in addition to impairment of ENOS endo signaling, on the other hand, the vasal relaxation induced by this EDHF, the hyperpolarizing factor, is also impaired. So this may open some more question or new direction for you to further study following this wonderful work.
Well, thank you both for participating in the podcast and for this very thorough discussion of the paper. We congratulate Sylvain on this study and look forward to its application to the clinical setting. Thank you both.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.